Father, I'm so grateful and so thankful for this time of worship. God, just good. Oh, it's good to declare your name and your praise. It's good to remember that you are the name above all names, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that your name is powerful and that you have given us the right to speak that name. That name that overrides all of our circumstances, all of our fears, even all of our selfishness, our doubt, our anxiety. God, that you are Lord over all. You fill every space. Wherever we go, you are there. Wherever we run, you are there. Wherever we run away, you are there. And you're always calling us home. You're always filling us up. You're always debunking, God, the lies of Satan with truth. And God, we're so thankful that we have truth, and we're so thankful that truth is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that we can turn to your word again and again and again to be reminded of who we are, to be reminded of how you're calling us up into our identity. Already saying that we are that we don't feel we are. And God, may it push us toward you. May it drive us toward confidence in you, Father God. May it help us to praise you and to celebrate you, Father, and to put you first in all things. We rejoice in you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And everyone said, amen. What a good morning this has been already. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. We finished our series last week. It was a three-week series. And today, God had put on my heart for a number of weeks, actually for a number of months, but again this month for several weeks, to put on my heart to do something a little bit different. I realize that not everyone in this church knows your staff. Not everyone knows who is leading you, who is leading your children, and what their heart is, what their vision is, that you are handing your children over into and your spiritual lives into are people you can count on. People you can understand where they're coming from so that it gives you that confidence that you need in knowing that every time you walk through the doors of the church, that you're in good hands. Amen? And I used to be the worship pastor of this church. For those of you who don't know, years and years ago, I was the worship pastor, thank you, Mike, of this church, doing what Mike does now. And one of the things that I discovered, especially being a mobile church, is I didn't know a lot of people because I was always on stage. I didn't know a lot of people because I was setting up and I was breaking down. Or even as a staff member, a lot of times today, there may be two or three people waiting to speak to me after church. And I don't always get to people that I don't know, don't recognize, or don't know very well. And of course, Sunday morning, as I always tell you, is not the place to get to know people. It's life group. So let me just give you a big push for life group there. Always for life group, right? But I didn't know a lot of people. People knew my face. I didn't know theirs. Unless you sit in the same chair over and over, which we tend to do just by our nature, except for Gary and Bobby. They're always popping all over the place. I love it. That's how you meet new people. Mix it up next week and see if you can introduce yourself to somebody new. But I want you to know our staff. I want you to know who we are. I want you to know why we do what we do in every different area of our ministry so that you can have a better understanding of who we are, where we're going, and what your tithing toward, what you're spending your time investing in. And so this morning, we're going to mix it up just a little bit and do something different. You okay with that? Good. I like it. So Mike, you come on, and I want to introduce you to somebody that's very dear to my heart. You know his face. You know his voice. But I don't think you know Mike. Amen? You don't have the chance to know Mike. Mike's always behind the scenes. He's either behind the microphone or he's been in preteens, and so he just hasn't had all the opportunities to get to know you. But Mike's going to be one of many people that get introduced to you this morning, and the reason for it isn't just so you can know his name and his face, but you can know the heart of his ministry and how it applies to your life. Yes, 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 yes. I'm excited. Y'all want me to preach a message now? Yep, and laughter. I was like, nervous laughter. Not going to happen, but I let me say this. Scott's absolutely right. So many things just echoed in my heart, and it, with all of the people who spoke, I don't even know where to begin with it, just to say, I mean, you guys know me, right? You know me, but maybe some of you don't, but let me just tell this part of my story as I close. When I became a Christ follower after fighting that for 14 years, became a pastor, rather, after fighting it for 14 years, something grew stronger in my heart than it was already there. As a brand new Christian, I immediately had a heart for the church, not the lost, the church. That continued to grow and grow, and I couldn't understand, and even I have to say that there were times I felt guilty about the fact that I wasn't this super evangelist, right? Because I grew up in very traditional churches where it was always go out and tell, go out and tell, go out and tell, go out and tell, and yet my heart was resonating for those who call themselves Christ followers, for those who are already walking in a relationship with Christ. And I struggled with that for a long time. And when God called me into ministry, as in being an actual pastor, that only grew stronger in my life. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to deal with this, because I felt guilty about the fact that I'm not chasing this, I'm chasing this. And one of the greatest verses that I came across in my Christian life was in Philippians chapter 2. It wasn't in Philippians chapter 2. It was a different place. It was in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, Ephesians 4:11 says, it was he, meaning God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. And I began to realize that I don't have to be everything. I don't have to be a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, all these different people. I don't have to have every single gift that is mentioned in Scripture. And I knew from very early on that my gift was teaching. So the next struggle I went through was, how can I be a pastor if I'm a teacher? That was really a struggle for me, and yet life application was the most important thing for me. Like, if people don't understand the Word of God, what's the point of preaching to them? And we founded Common Ground on that very principle of, you know, if we're going to reach people who were unchurched, or we're going to reach people who maybe came from a different background, or maybe a very formal background like I had come to when I was in my teenage years and very lost because I didn't understand anything that was happening around me or being said to me, then we have to teach differently. We have to teach life application. We have to teach in a way that people understand. And so Common Ground has always been a church like, come as you are, right? Come as you are. It's God's job to fix it, not mine. I'm just like you. I struggle with this. That's why sometimes I'll stand up in church and, well, you know, I always talk about Lori, right? And she's just like, oh, she doesn't even, like, she's numb to it. But I'll say, you know, y'all know Lori and I fight sometimes, right? And it's so funny how people will come up and go, y'all fight? Like, well, we're people, aren't we? You know, but just to have this relational relationship with the church. That I'm 6 feet away from you. I am no different than you. I was just sitting in that chair, and I was one of you. Now I'm standing up here, and I'm one of you. I go through everything that you go through. I struggle with everything that you struggle with. I'm just passionate about God, too. And I'm chasing the things of God. And that's one of the things that God did in me early on. I used to stand in church, and I had to wrestle with, you know, am I guilty of this? Am I judging people? Am I whatever? Because I would stand in church, and I would think, okay, I am singing the same songs that all the people around me are singing. Why am I passionate and they seem like they don't care? I'm hearing the same message that they're hearing, but I don't see any response from them, and I'm like ready to come out of my skin. Why is that happening? And I just realized that God was shaping me, like Scott talked about and others talked about, spiritual markers where God was shaping me to stand in this role that I never wanted. So I could convey that message. And it's like, you know what? Don't want to be the only one. Right? Apparently, I am still the only one. I'm working on that with y'all. But I have this passion for the church. I just want the church to be the church. That's what I want. wanted you to be the church the way God wants you to be the church, the way he wired you, the way he made you, with your background, your past experiences, your personality, all the junk and all the garbage that is nothing to God. Be who God made you to be, but in him, amen? Thriving in him your way, because he puts you in places that he can't put someone else, because they don't have the background, the experience, the personality to meet up with people in the marketplace that God has put you in to minister to the people around you, leading them to Christ or engaging them in their relationship with Christ. Amen? That's why you're different than me. That's why I say I'm jealous of you sometimes, because you still are going out into the marketplace like I used to before I got called into ministry and engaging with people, and the word pastor is not attached to your name. You get to go out and you get to talk to people, and they don't go, oh, well, you're supposed to do that because you're a pastor. But I get a lot of that. And so I feel somewhat restricted sometimes compared to who I used to be. But I also know that God created this role for me because I got poured into. And my goal is now trying to pour into you. Please pour back from time to time. Because I don't get that audience anymore. It's one of the reasons I love to go to the gym, because people don't know. I met Elizabeth at the gym. People don't know what I do. When they finally figured out what I do at Bridge City Gym, I changed to the Orange Gym so they wouldn't know what I did. Because you know what? By the time you have a relationship with me, it's too late. You don't think of me as pastor. I'm just a person you've said and you've done and you whatever. You've been yourself with me. And I didn't go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. And so now the relationship is there, and I know a lot of people have come to church just from that environment alone, because we're just being real with one another. We're being relational with one another, and that's what's so important to me. Ministry, like Michael talked about, is brutal. It's brutal, and it's beautiful. And the more you get called by God into places that you let go of so that he finds room to work in your life, you will experience the brutal yourself. Because we all have a ministry. Every last one of us have some kind of ministry out there. It doesn't have to be a role in the church. There's limited roles in the church. And we only have, you know, 7 life group leaders and 4 people on staff and 2 people on MLT. I mean, we only have so many places. But the vast majority of your life is spent out there, not in here. We should never be looking for names and titles. Like, I still don't want my title, right? I still struggle because of my social anxiety with being in this role. I can't tell you what happens when my foot hits the stage. I become a different person. But when I step down, I feel like a kid, like, don't talk to me, don't look at me, don't tell me I did a good job. Like, I don't want that, right? But God's given me that as a ministry, as a platform, so I'm utterly dependent on him. In your ministry out there where you spend the vast majority of your life, like Scott said, say yes to God. He's always at work. He's just waiting for us to join him. He's always at work. And my desire is for the church to be the actual church, not people who show up on Sunday morning. I want you to outpassion me. I want to feel like I need to catch up to you as we just do this together. By the way, Paige, see me after church. Something just popped into my head. Sorry. It has to do with a ministry. That's why it popped in my head. I want you to outpassion me. One of the things I miss, I'm going to say this, and I know we're reaching unchurched people, and I know it's going to be different conversations and stuff like that, but Lori and I can both attest to that we were in a church prior to coming here. The kind of conversations we were able to have with other people in the church, I thrived on. It always turned to Scripture. We just get excited talking about Scripture, talking about God, talking about the things of God, where he's going, how he's working, all the nuances of God. Just have these conversations like we're at a football game talking about God. And I don't get a lot of that here. And I know that part of the reason is because we're reaching people who don't have a relationship with God. And we're reaching people who, you know, are brand new or trying to figure it out or whatever it may be. But what I want to see as you continue to grow and you continue to let go and you continue to invite God in is that you become one of those people to where at the end of my life, I can say my life was not spent laboring in vain. I want to duplicate me too. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm so much more passionate than you. You just get to hear from me. But I want to hear from you. I want to, you know what I long for? I long to walk in the foyer of our church and see regular, ordinary, everyday people praying over regular, ordinary, everyday people. Not saying I'll pray for you, but stopping. I got a chance to pray with Linda Pilcher this morning. She said, let me tell you how crazy my life is right now. Will you pray for me? I said, I'll pray for you right now. And people are walking past me. I'm cool with that. I don't care. That's what I want to see in our church. I want to see people who are doing life with people spiritually and not just socially. Like Scott said, the casual Christian should be extinct, non-existent, because when you read the Word of God, you don't see that person existing. Paul wasn't, Peter wasn't, John wasn't, James wasn't. There's not a single person in Scripture that was worth writing about if they weren't passionate. And God has empowered us with His Holy Spirit to be those exact same people. No holds barred. Listen, if there's anybody that knows, it has nothing to do with your personality. Because I'd rather just be the type B personality that doesn't ever get in front of anyone and talk to anybody. I resisted God for 14 years because I did not want to stand in front of people. And now when I stand in front of people, it's like a flip. The switch gets flipped. I become a maniac. Right? But when I step down, that's not who I am at all. It's not who I am. I may talk to you, I may not. Right? I just get withdrawn a little bit, you know? But when we get put in those places, that's when we see God show off. When God does the most extraordinary thing, the most ordinary, unlikely person. And I felt so unlikely. I still feel unlikely, and I'm 57 years old. Like, what am I doing? Why do you keep coming back? Like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, what is happening? Like, you keep coming back. I don't understand. That's God. I'm just a vessel. That's God. I want us to be passionate about God. I want the church to be passionate about God. Here's my verse for you today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. It is God who changes you so that you desire and hunger after His will, so that you can't help but act upon His will and go out there and be what the Great Commission says you should be. Let's go crazy in our community, right? I mean, let's just go crazy. How about in your home? Let's start in your home. Lori and I would say this to you this morning. One thing I would say to you when it comes to your Christian life, we would both say the same thing to you. I wouldn't tell you to pray more, pray louder. I wouldn't tell you to pray. If I could only have one thing I could say to you, prayer would not be it. It would be get in God's Word. You know why? Because God's Word will tell you how to pray. It will become a natural outflow. We have too many prayers and not enough readers. So who are you praying to? If you don't know who God is, you're praying to the wrong God. You're praying to a God of your imagination. It's no wonder the prayers can't get answered. It's no wonder you feel like you can't understand when God's speaking, when God's moving, how to hear His voice. Get in God's Word. Yes, sometimes it can be monotonous. Sometimes you're not going to feel like anything's happening. But I promise you, this time next year, if you will just get in God's Word and read it every day, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're looking for, it doesn't matter. He will water the seeds He is putting in your life, and you will not be the same this time next year. I will need to put out an 11 by 14 card for you to fill out next year instead of a whatever that is. I promise. You hear me? I promise. I'm going to be like the person was to me that got me saved, because don't tell me to do something because then I'll do it. I dare you. I dare you to read God's Word all year. And then I dare to tell me you're not changed. Dare you to tell me you're not changed. You will be. That's who we have to be. That's what we have to be about. I wanted you to meet our staff today because I want you to know I'm not the only person that's passionate about this church. I want you to know that you're in good hands in this church. That no matter where you go, where you drop your kids off, they're not going to be the same. The foundation is being built, and it's being built upon until God builds us into this house that is called the church. So that no matter where you land, you're effective. That's what I want for you. That's what God commands of you, demands of you, and demands of me. Let's just be that. Amen? Let's just be that. I dare you to be that. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Father God, I thank You so much for this time today. I know we've been here long, but God, I just feel You're so important. And God, we're just going to take a moment together, just a short moment together, God, just in case, God, just in case somebody says, I'm not who I should be. I've put this off long enough. I realized when I listened to people in this church talk that they were just ordinary people that became something else. And God, if there's anybody in this church that needs to be saved, if there's anybody that says, I just want to give my life to Christ because I see in the people that have spoken today and the people around me that there's more, that that would take place in the back today. I pray that you would just continue to work in us, as I know you will and to act according to your good purposes, God, that we would realize our life is not about us. It is so not about us, God, it's about you. May we fulfill that in the eyes of those who are trying to figure out who you are, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Lori, Scott, Angel, Gary, Clint are in the back. For anybody who just says, I need to nail something down, I pray you would take advantage of that. Not going to do it long today. Do it now, because we're going to make it short today. Either you're ready or you're not.